I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's been a good run. It's been a lot of fun. But for Eli Manning, your starting job is done, as he is now the backup quarterback of the New York Football Giants. The Giants announcing they are going to go with Geno Smith Sunday for their game in Oakland against the Raiders. And I just asked Barry this at the break, but the last quarterback to start before Eli Manning put together a consecutive game streak starting for the Giants was in 2004, and it was a Hall of Famer, but it definitely wasn't someone that you would put as a New York Giants stalwart.
No.
It was one Kurt Warner at the end of his career.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So I guess, hey, all things aside, we love you, Eli. Nice run, good streak, but we got to figure out what we got here, and we're going to go with Geno Smith.
That tells you how bad it is.
Yikes.
209 man. Consecutive starts for Eli, passing Peyton by one at 208, not catching Favre at 297. That was never going to happen.
No.
But
at the same time, don't you think that maybe the conversation was, you know, we really got to suck bad, and with Eli, we at least got a chance. If we put Geno Smith in, we're definitely going to get the first pick in the draft.
I don't know. Cleveland may have something to say about that.
Yeah, Cleveland and San Francisco.
But yeah, you can get you're going to get a quarterback if you can be top three.
Now he's denying it, but did you hear that?
Because San Francisco is not taking a quarterback, so if they're one of the first three picks, it's going to be between them and Cleveland.
And I was going to say, in related news, Sam Darnold, the USC quarterback, is now having to dispel the rumors that are out there hot and heavy that he has said if the Browns end up with the number one pick, he will stay at USC for another year rather than take his talents to Cleveland.
Rather than ruin his career already?
Yeah.
Off the jump?
As long as he doesn't go drinking on Friday nights, he might be better off than Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, I said the other day that I thought Mayfield might be the first quarterback taken. A lot of people, though, and you included, said, no, it'll be Darnold or Rosen or some combination, and that's fine. I think Mayfield will be first round if he doesn't go as one of the two better ones. As bad as those guys have played, though, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not taken first. But, I mean, who knows? I think, though, Cleveland has to take a quarterback. That much we know, right? Who it is will remain to be seen, but they have to take a quarterback?
No. Do they have to?
Yeah.
Let me just factor something in for you. They are the Browns, Barry. Well, they've screwed up some stuff before, and Rick Smith has bailed them out, and they've bailed Rick Smith out. But here's the thing. They have two top five picks, or they're going to be in the
nine,
top five? Or
top ten, I think.
Okay.
Two top ten
picks. They have the Texans pick. They have their own pick. They have a lot of picks coming up.
Yeah.
And they could still screw this up and think, hey, Sean Kaiser's got a lot of ability.
No, they won't do that.
I hope to God they don't, and I hope they make the right decision, but they are the Browns. That's all I'm saying.
And I was just looking up for the draft order projected just because, I mean, it's obviously the standings. And then, of course, the first headline that pops up, Texans offseason trades currently means giving away two top 40 picks in the 2018 draft. Ugh.
Whee!
Browns, Niners, Giants, Colts, Broncos, Bears, Jets, Browns from Houston. So 1 and 8 is where the Browns will be picking right now, because the Texans would have had the 8th pick in the draft.
That hurts.
And they don't. But, hey.
That hurts a lot.
But you got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you did.
And are you okay with that?
No, don't.
And that's been
that
the question that's been asked 1,000 times and will be continued to be asked, especially through draft season, is, well, you're not picking in the first or second round, but you got Deshaun Watson. So be happy with that. Would you rather have a first-round pick or would you rather have Deshaun Watson?
I'll just let that play out. We've had that discussion before. No.
Yeah.
But I still am not going to give Rick Smith any credit.
Because you're damn right you are.
No, I'm not.
I know. You don't have to. No. It's fine. Okay. A couple of texts from Ancestry DNA is Big Brother, man. Government database. Don't do it. No, I did.
Too late.
I didn't have a choice. My wife did it.
But he got a deal.
Now, I will say that the little kit sat there for a long time just because I was too lazy to do it. But it's real easy. You just swab the Q-tip in your cheek.
Yeah.
I was like, man, is this what it's like to be on First 48? Because then they usually do that.
It's a great show.
It really is. My wife loves that show. But sent it in, and didn't take too long to get the results back. You get it over email, and you can log in anytime and pull it up. It's pretty interesting if you're into that kind of thing. Somebody said the Marine Corps, when you get promoted, it's called pinning of chevrons, where I was talking about they stab you in the chest or whatever.
But the chevrons are on your arm, right?
I don't know. I don't know what
the chevrons are like.
Don't get me lying. You'd have to ask somebody in the military.
Okay. Well, we've got listeners.
Oh, yeah. Plenty. Where'd it go? Damn it. The text line froze up. Well, that's never good.
Other news of the day to get in while Barry checks out the text messages. Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy met with Tennessee athletic director to discuss coaching job. And I told you guys this was really creepy weird. But several sources have confirmed that Gundy has had phone conversations with Tennessee, and other sources, including WNML in Knoxville, have said that he's interviewed for the position or at least talked to them in person about it. Does that save face for Tennessee?
I think that's a huge mistake for him to leave Oklahoma State to go to Tennessee. It's going to be hard. Now, you may have a better chance at getting some better players. The SEC is really tough to win in.
I think you and I were talking about this earlier, and I'm going to say this because you and I talked about the comparison between Kevin Sumlin being in trouble at A&M and eventually getting fired as opposed to Gundy, who wasn't at Oklahoma State. And I said this then, I'll say it now. Having T. Boone Pickens, who is the biggest, most influential player on the Oklahoma State campus and with anything to do with Oklahoma State athletics, in particular football, where all the field, the buildings, everything's named after him. He's donated everything. He sent out a letter to all boosters to let them know that Mike Gundy has his full support. Job security has something to it. There's a value to it. And if you know, hey, as long as you give Oklahoma a game and you stay in the top 25 and you recruit decent players, this guy likes you enough to keep you around, that's a pretty big deal.
But hasn't he just been Oklahoma State throughout his entire football life?
I mean, I can't give you like verbatim his career or anything like that. But
that's weird.
What?
I pulled up his wiki page.
Yeah.
Title, head coach, team Tennessee, conference SEC. Is there breaking news we're missing?
Either that or someone got to Wikipedia and decided to edit it like they did when they said
I'm going
to
screenshot this because
it also says he was a head coach at Tennessee from 2005 till present, right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
I mean, Wiki
screwed
does
that up.
Yeah, people mess with it.
Yep.
So, yeah, Oklahoma State wide receiver coach, Oklahoma State quarterback. That was in 91 to 93, the quarterback coach at Oak State. 94 to 95, OC and QB coach. Went to Baylor for 96, to Maryland from 97 to 2000, and then back to Oklahoma State as assistant head coach and OC from 2001 to 2004, and since 2005 has been the head coach. So he had 96 through 2000 where he was with Baylor and Maryland, but most of his career has been with Oklahoma State. So it's going to be interesting to see why you would make that change now. It's going to happen at some point, right? I mean,
some people get complacent. I mean, look at Jimbo Fisher. He's been at Florida State. He was Bobby Bowden's assistant head coach and coordinator forever, and now he's considering leaving. So,
I think that trend of long tenured coaches, that's gonna end. I think at some point, it's not gonna be like that forever. I mean, when Nick Saban leaves, do you imagine the next head coach having that spot for 10, 15, 20 years?
Just depends. I mean, look at how bad they struggled before they found Nick Saban, trying to find the right guy, Mike Shula, and all different guys that they rolled through that position until Saban took it, and then he got him back to prominence, and now he's been dominant. But, some people just get complacent with the fact that – or they don't know how good they have it. In the case like Brett Bielema, when he had a lifetime deal at Wisconsin, and could have stayed there in the Big Ten and been competitive every year. And look, they don't expect to win national championships there. He would have been secure for the rest of his life. And maybe the challenge is better. I want to play in the SEC. I want to see if I can do this.
I want to play at a real school.
No, that's not. Because if you compare Wisconsin and Arkansas, I'll slap you silly. That's ridiculous.
I just, can you hotkey where he threatened me with physical harm?
Yep.
For please HR,
do.
Please?
Please do.
I'd like that reported.
That's gonna, it stands
I'd like
for
to file a complaint.
Run, not for any kind of department run.
I'm filing a formal complaint with our HR department. Yeah.
Does this right the wrong of Tennessee, though, if they get a guy
no.
like Gundy to go to Tennessee?
Nope.
See, I don't either. I don't think so either.
I don't think, I mean, you're always going to have that on you. There's the, you succumb to a, you know, internet
it'll blow
witch
over.
Hunt. Yeah.
Eventually it'll blow over, but it won't be forgotten. And to the point we made yesterday, Nick, Schiano is considering legal action. And
because it's a memorandum, right, that he signed?
He signed it. The athletic director signed it. But the chancellor, they're saying, from Tennessee, from their defense when they heard about this, saying their chancellor didn't sign it. Therefore, it wasn't
officially complete. Yeah.
We'll see if that holds water.
I'm about to go AJ Hoffman up in this bitch and start complaining about the internet. It keeps locking up.
Are you on the 5G?
I can't. No, I don't know what the hell I'm on. I'm on the Galaxy.
Wait, there's no internet? What? I can't
do this job and focus without internet. It's not working, though. It sucks. I get it.
Well, let's take a break so you can get it back.
Damn it.
We need it.
Well, I was just trying to upload that to Twitter to start a kerfluffle.
You got
to
read text.
Yeah, I know. I had more text that I wanted to read. Did you guys see this? This was one of the texts. Did y'all see where the Ravens defender got in Savage's face and asked him, "Where's mine?" after his last interception?
I said, 99. That's the guy. 99 was talking to him the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth with that for sure.
Steelers won, said beating the Steelers would be a Christmas miracle. Yes, indeed it would.
Steelers won, just barely got by, which would have been a Green Bay Christmas miracle, winning in Pittsburgh without Aaron Rodgers.
Barry, what are the odds if Watson was still playing Sunday game day wouldn't have gotten canceled? Nah. I don't know if Watson playing was going to put any more money in the station budget, so I think that odds are zero that it wouldn't have gotten canceled. I love Joel's Bill Walton. Haha, that was great.
There you go.
Yeah.
Throw it
look,
down.
Joel's like, there you go.
Throw it down, big man. Throw it down.
Do you mind saying how much that cost, Barry? I don't know. I have to ask my wife. I think we paid like us $100 or something for the Ancestry DNA kit. I think it's
really?
Like $100.
Do you have to supply your own Q-tip?
You have to supply your own saliva and DNA. Oh. I'll text my wife and ask her how much she paid for it, sir or ma'am, and let you know.
Because she doesn't let you have the credit card often?
No, because I wasn't involved with it and okay. Don't care.
All right. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're going to take a quick break, then come back with a whole lot more. We've got stuff that we want to talk about, but if there's something on your mind that you want to get off your chest, give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, back with more ESPN 97.5.
You know I'm so great, I have a straight chick in the telly going both ways.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Blake Griffin and other news from the NBA is going to be out maybe 2 months with a sprained knee. If you haven't seen it, I believe I put it on my Twitter account, but you can also catch it all over the place. Austin Rivers was guarding Lonzo Ball. The ball slipped out of Lonzo's hands. Austin Rivers rolled up into Blake Griffin's knee, and Doc Rivers, looking out for his son, tried to blame it on Lonzo, who said he pushed him into him. Seriously, Doc? But really, from a Blake Griffin perspective, is this like every year?
It feels like
every year he's got something where he's going to miss at least a month.
It definitely feels like it.
Pat Beverly's going to miss the rest of the year, they said. He had knee surgery already.
Yeah.
Clippers are falling apart.
That was like a week or 2 weeks ago. I kind of felt bad for Beverly, you know, just being a former fan of his with him being a Rocket. But
you can still be a fan of his, Nick.
Yeah. I think, though, that's the only way you can be a fan of his. He had to have played for your team at least once, right?
Yeah, otherwise, like we said, he's 31 teams in the league that would hate him and another team that would send him Christmas cards from his entire fan base.
I don't know how high of expectations we all had for the Clippers this year anyway.
Well, they have Sam Decker, and he is the premier centerpiece for any move to be made because he's just
I set
Sam
him
Decker.
Up for that one.
I gotta tell you, I love Bitter Joel sometimes.
It's funny.
It really is. He'll never, ever.
We didn't get to this last week, and someone actually sent it to me. But he actually came out in an article and said, last year with the Rockets, I was definitely the centerpiece and the catalyst of the second unit. And they sent it to me for that very, I'm like, boy, this dude, man.
He was not the catalyst.
Definitely not. Some guy named Eric Gordon might have had a thing or two to say about that.
And yeah. Lou Williams later in the year.
Yeah.
You think?
Did Sam Decker get six man? No. Did he get second? No. Did he get third? No. Oh, okay. We're good.
He got 10th man of the year.
Yeah, 10th man of the year, Sam Decker. Congratulations. I mean,
he was struggling. It's a Webby Award.
Go Big Red.
Struggling like a lot like Ryan Anderson. You can see some of the confidence kind of
I meant to ask
go
you
down,
about that, Nick.
But yeah.
So they move him to the bench for a game. And then D'Antoni even covers it up by saying, look, we're going to keep the starting lineup fluid. We can, from game to game, make adjustments. But it seemed like just sitting him on the bench took some pressure off of him because he shot it better. And then D'Antoni put him right back in the starting lineup the next game.
I don't know if you describe it as a cover-up. I felt like it was a legit excuse. Maybe it wasn't. I didn't really pay too much attention to it. But I think if you, as long as you keep giving him the reps, which you kind of have to considering his salary, mm-hmm. you kind of hope for the best. And he at least, like I said, at least when he's not doing super well, he kind of stops taking shots, which I guess can kind of be a bad thing. But for the most part, I feel like he's pretty efficient.
And I don't think it was a cover-up. I think it was more or less that he was doing Ryan a favor. Like, you know when a player's pressing too much. Like, you're in the gym, like, before and after games and up till midnight trying to figure it out, got to work it out. And you put so much extra stress on yourself as opposed to everything that's going on, or on top of everything that's going on, that you just freak out after a while, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So I think he did a favor to Ryan Anderson, said, look, don't take this personal, but we're going to come bring you off the bench tonight. You can make up some excuse for why you did it, but I think it was just to kind of get him to just slow down and relax so he could just get back to doing what he does well.
Yeah, and plus you got P.J. Tucker who started and got a little bit of a rep there as a starter, so that's, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Boy, they're playing well. I mean, and I gave James Harden his props. He should be hands down the MVP leading candidate right now, but that shouldn't mean anything to Rockets fans. Yeah, it's nice to have, but the main thing is the team is playing so damn well, and we still have yet to see all of them healthy, where you can use that lineup, that defensive lineup that I've talked about so much with Mbah Mute and P.J. Tucker and Trevor and CP3 and Capella. But night and day from what I think a lot of people around the country expected, because they thought it was going to take time, i.e. Oklahoma City. But you just got to love, and you got to give a lot of credit and tip of the hat to Mike D'Antoni, because it's not just an offensive system. As Barry was talking about earlier, it's about chemistry, culture, everything that where everybody buys in. Is why they're playing so well right now. And that's just that's a great thing to have going into the winter months before you get into everything else that's going on and once you get out of football.
And then you've got the Cavs who are turning it on now.
They're really playing well.
Yep. They 8 in a row?
Celtics are starting to come back to the pack.
Warriors have lost 3 of their last 7. They're 4-3 over their last 7. I know last night,
no Curry, no Durant, and you lose to the Kings.
Yeah, but still. Yeah, they lost a couple of nights ago to the Thunder.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's – I mean, you got to admit, there's no way you expected the Warriors to have, what, 4 or 5 losses already?
Well, they got more losses than the Rockets. Rockets have the best record in the West.
By a game and a half. How is it that through a fourth of the season, the Rockets are a game and a half up on the Warriors? That's stunning to me.
I think there was a few games. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but there were certainly a few games that the Warriors should not have lost.
Oh, for sure. They lost – this is the second time I think they lost to Sacramento.
Right.
Yeah, they've definitely dropped.
They count
games.
Though. I mean,
no doubt you got to play the schedule.
Are you making an excuse for the Rockets if Harden sits out tonight and they lose to the Kings? Probably not.
No, but I
they
tend
still got
to
Klay Thompson. They still have Draymond Green. Fair. Go out there and do your thing.
I just tend to give them more leeway just because they're a championship team. You're talking about a team that could have potentially won 3 in a row if it wasn't for that, you know, Draymond Green suspension. You don't know. I mean, that's just a crazy team with some history. I mean, that's a well-lubed machine right there. That's the only reason why. But, yeah, I mean, and there's definitely losses that the Rockets should not have lost to either. I mean, yeah, Memphis is a good team, and Fizdale did great at the time. But
Hey,
easy now. Don't talk about a guy.
Don't talk about me while I'm right here.
After he's been bicker-staffed.
Say it to my face.
Yeah.
I mean, Memphis is a good team and all, but I don't think they should have lost
they lost
that early
here
twice.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 of their 4 losses. They lost to Memphis twice. They lost to Philly once. Who's their other loss?
Was it Detroit?
Was it the Wizards?
No, it wasn't Detroit. I don't know.
Hell, I got to look it up. But speaking of that, I'll pull up the, if the internet would ever work,
yeah,
I'll pull it up.
Mine's not working now either. You cursed me.
Speaking of that, did you see what went on between Steven Jackson and Chandler Parsons over the David Fizdale firing in Memphis? So Steven Jackson said, you give $100 million to a guy that don't even care about the game or winning, but you expect the coach to make a miracle happen. And he put, shout out to Coach Fizdale. You can't win it more. You can't want it more than the players you coach. Can't go to war with no soldiers. How you expect him to win with no dogs on his team and point guard hurt? Fixed fight if you tell me. Fire Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
Hashtag GBG truth hurts. And then they did a video, but he's talking about bad front office, bad team. Point blank, if you never played in the NBA or worked in the front office, keep your opinion to yourself. So Chandler Parsons comes back, says, it's wild to me that someone who has been in my shoes knows how hard it is to get here and knows how bad injury sucks to hate so hard. You mad I can provide for my family? Question mark. I don't love the game because I had three knee surgeries. You make no sense and sound bitter. NBA is a brotherhood. Stop hating. And then
Steven
fires
Jackson's
back.
Reply was even harder.
You know my brother. Sorry, all basketball players ain't cool. Facts. It's like, ouch. I've been better than you and still is. The fact is, it sucks to see guys make coaches look bad because they don't want to give 110%. I love the game. Always have. We didn't take the same path. We are completely different. It's not a brotherhood like you think. As much as I've been hated because I speak facts, anybody would want me over you as a teammate. I mean, just roasting Chandler Parsons. I hate to see where the game is headed. I'm from Port Arthur, Texas. You wouldn't know the path I took. Damn!
Yeah, that was...
Steven Jackson was roasting Chandler Parsons.
Just preaching on right there. And I felt bad for Chandler because I think he realizes that if he really pushed this, Steven Jackson kicked his ass, too.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
And it's very, and it's not a brotherhood. It's so much about the individual in basketball.
Isn't it, though? Aren't all three leagues, it's the brotherhood and the shield? You never, the NBA.
Think about it. Even when you have a relationship.
I mean, supposedly these players, baseball less than any of the others, I would think, just because the sheer amount of players that exist in the baseball union, even though it's the strongest union of the three.
And isn't it funny that you tend to get along with players? Like, if you're a great NBA player, you tend to get along with other good NBA players. Like, LeBron James is friends with Dwayne Wade, a top 10 point guard at the time, like when he was playing with Miami. Like, all his friends are, like, great players. You know what I mean?
Interesting you bring those two names up, because I have a question for you guys coming back from the break about those two and about the Memphis Grizzlies situation. Because something kind of got under my skin with all this going on social media last night with the announcement of Fizdale.
Raptors was the other loss for the Rockets.
That's
not
right.
Wizards.
Toronto came here and won. Yeah, so Toronto,
Raptors,
Philly,
Sixers,
and Memphis twice.
And two Grizzlies losses.
Okay.
Not enough to save David Fizdale beating the best team in the NBA twice. Well,
just don't piss off your all-star center.
Yeah, I guess not.
All right, we'll continue with a little bit more hoops, then we'll get into some other things. And if there's some things on your mind you want to talk about, please give us a call, a text, or a tweet. We're here and available till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, 1.5 hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. We were talking before the break about David Fizdale being fired and the situation that Chandler Parsons found himself in with Steven Jackson, amongst other things. I wanted to ask you guys this because it really kind of ticked me off last night. I know that Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were very close with David Fizdale because he was an assistant with Miami when they won the championships. But when they heard the news that he was fired, both of them started tweeting out immediately, I need answers. I need explanation. No one owes them anything. The Memphis Grizzlies made a decision. Just because you're one of the better players in the league, or in Wade's case has been one of the better players in the league over the last couple of years, they don't owe you a damn thing. Now, if Fizdale wants to tell you the behind-the-scenes stuff, go to him. But don't go to social media trying to be all big and hard and tough like, hey, we need answers. You owe us this. They owe you nothing.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, too, especially when Dwayne Wade basically wrote almost the exact same tweet that LeBron.
They did. He did.
Except with the except all he added was a WTF. But yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, they don't owe you a damn thing. And even if you were still at the top of your game or whatever you are and whatever you could be, would be, should be, and have been, they owe you nothing.
I'm with you. I mean, it's not your organization.
Yeah.
Stay within yourself. Mandy said Cleveland where QBs go to die. Yep. Maybe I don't blame Darnold. Blaine said jump wings are usually set by hitting them and the pins go into your chest some. It's a tradition, not just a regular promotion.
Jump wings in the Air Force?
He just said jump wings.
Okay.
Pinning the globe and anchor through the uniform to the chest when you finish boot camp basic training. That's from Steelers fan Juan. Okay. And then someone on Twitter, it was Jesse Cruz, called it blood wings. Got mine when I graduated Air Assault School.
I knew our guys. And then he
posted a picture of the wings. And thank you all for your service to each of you that were telling us what it was because you served and got yours. So appreciate it.
And then to lighten it up a little bit, the mood. I don't know if you saw this, but after the Eagles game against the Bears, Coach Doug Peterson was at the podium and fielding questions from the media. And, of course, everybody's talking about Carson Wentz, the season he's having. He's an MVP candidate. And one media member probably should have phrased his question a little differently. He asked Coach Peterson if he was worried that Carson Wentz was experiencing premature explosion.
Have we seen maybe a premature explosion, or is there a similar explosion?
rephrase. All right, let's regroup here. Let's regroup.
All right, press conference.
I know. Ooh, boy. All right.
Great, man.
I love it because I would do that, but then I'd be like, God, I'm childish. I would think how childish I was for doing that.
I would do it and then wait for you guys to tell me it was a dad joke.
No, that's pretty funny though. I like that. I wonder if the guy. I don't think. The
I
guy
bet you his face turned red. I mean, reporters are so worried about looking professional, like beat reporters,
and asking dumb questions.
Yeah. Oh, that's well, at least that's the biggest fear, basically.
I mean, when I did the Astros games, I didn't want to ask questions just because I didn't want to be made to look stupid. Man, you never know.
I get more of that fear in the Rockets locker room.
Not
than
that AJ Hinch is like that, because AJ Hinch. Because I forget. I think
it's real. It's real.
What?
What you guys are talking about?
The fear?
I have never gotten over. I think it's subsided. It subsided a little bit in the last couple of years. But there was never a time that I didn't go run the question over in my head like three or four times going, I don't want to look. And it got worse when the playoffs came around because now you got national media in there too. And you're like, I really want to ask this question, but is it dumb?
Yep.
And you just completely keep running it over.
Nick and I had that conversation sitting next to each other several times. It's like, well, I want to ask this, but is that a dumb question? You start to second guess yourself when we'll come on this show and the three of us will sit here and throw things out and talk about it. And some of it may be off base, but none of it really feels dumb or like you would be belittled.
The question I was dying to ask
you,
Harden, yesterday is like, what happened in the second quarter? But I didn't know what Harden's mood was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he was getting like really brief, he wasn't like extremely brief, but semi-brief with his answers. I was like, I'm not going to ask that question.
It's a good point too, Nick, because the other thing is you do have to judge. You get so many moody guys in locker rooms that you do have to judge what kind of mood they're in before you can throw a question like that out. The Eagles are on top of the world right now, so it's easier to throw that question out. But you guys did the right thing. I can't tell you how many times I'd bump Mark Berman or something and go, hey, if I ask this, is that dumb? Because I don't want the NBC reporter or the ABC
now, Berman
reporter.
Is,
but how many times do you sit there and watch these guys and think, well, that was a stupid question?
It happens.
A lot.
I've been called out, too.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I forget who it was, but it was the opening day for the Astros. You remember this. And I won't say who it is, but...
Oh, say it.
They might work at this station.
Oh, then don't maybe not say it.
And we were all in the post-game press conference with AJ Hinch, and it's like you could tell Hinch is about to stand up, and someone from the back of the room was like, I have a question. And the entire reporter pool was like, what? What? Like, everyone was leaving. We were done.
Yeah.
And we're going to the locker room to start talking to the players, so nobody can leave because, you know, you want to see what gets – and AJ Hinch is like – like, you can see it on his face, like, okay – And then he's just like, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on and on and on. And it's not even a good question. And then AJ Hinch is like, man, well, he's trying to be nice. Because AJ Hinch is very nice.
Yeah.
He's very polite. To be nice. He tries to be patient. And he's like, is it, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, geez, it's day one. What, you guys are killing me. But he does it, and everyone just leaves like, oh, you could have waited, bro. That was not important. Yeah. But I thought, oh, take
your
badge off.
There was a guy at another
station. You're
repping
us, and that's embarrassing. Do you remember this?
I don't. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, you're going to have to off-air that one for us.
I don't know if I can tell Joe. He'll come right back and
there was a guy that worked for another station in the market. It's actually moved on to better things. But he did that to Daryl Morey, and I want to say it was – oh, it was Brad Miller. It was Brad Miller, and he did it back-to-back.
Oh.
When the Rockets acquired Brad Miller, the first thing he said was, talk about the relationship and bond as kind of a mentor you developed with Joakim Noah. And Brad Miller went, Joakim? Really? You just called him Joakim? And the whole, we were all like, oh, Lord, this is where you fold up your briefcase and you get out of it. But no, he came back with another one, and he gave like the wrong players involved in a deal that Daryl Morey had made. And Daryl was like, yeah, that's not the deal we made. We did actually, it was this play. And we were like, okay, at that point, just pull the white flag out and go away.
Disappear
for the day.
At that yes. point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, back to back, there's nothing like that one. Then you're like, what are you doing? Learn your lesson after the first one because you took your medicine from Brad Miller himself.
Yeah, Gee the Never Dude has a good question. What would have been O'Brien's response to premature explosion? Well, he just
that's
gotta,
on me. That's
gotta,
on me.
He's got to do a better job of not doing that. You know, I mean, if you need to think about, you know, baseball while it's going on or something to make that not happen, you just need to do a better job of not premature exploding.
John, I did not do a good job managing his excitement level. John, I've just not done a good job all year coaching this team.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I saw this tweet. I know, Nick, sometimes you're looking for ways to make extra money.
Oh, no.
That's, don't worry.
That's loaded.
It doesn't involve you whoring yourself out.
Anymore.
Don't worry. But this guy on Twitter posted different ways you could make money. Selling things. Okay?
Oh, boy.
You with me?
Yeah.
No?
Kind
of. Kind of, too. I mean, you're not giving very much information.
So he said, his Twitter account is at George Sketch. And it says, are you broke? And then he lists all the things you can sell and the money you can get for it and says, tell a friend. So I'm going to read you some of these. Are you broke? You can sell your sperm for $100 per donation.
Where do you go?
I'm not even through the rest of the list.
Com, Nick.
I've seen
to which Patrick Randall replied, I've got a sock worth about $750. Which is, when I saw this, I started writing jokes about it. And that's what I wrote that I had a sock worth about $754,000. And he had the same joke. I think he said $25,000, but great joke, Patrick.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a, you can sell eggs. I'm assuming this is the woman's eggs for 8 gur.
Really?
Yep.
Isn't there an age limit on the sperm donation?
I don't know.
Is there?
There might be. Yeah, I don't think they want sperm from a 90-year-old dude. Just,
well, Barry Warner's out.
It's like the powdered milk that you buy in the box. It's just like, no, we don't want that, sir.
Nick, they're going to show me porn in black and white.
Condensed milk. Yeah. bone marrow, $3,000.
That's got to be painful to
absolutely.
Donate, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, one of my best friends had bone marrow cancer, man. It's terrible. Terrible.
Sure to have the cancer, but to donate your bone marrow, isn't that painful?
This is
good.
Yeah,
well, sometimes they have to move bone marrow from one part of your body to the next, so it's basically the same process.
Breast milk, $1 to $2 an ounce. Well, AJ could definitely, he's got...
Oh, jeez.
He'd feel... Have you seen? He needs a brawl now. He can definitely sell some of his.
And he doesn't have internet.
Hair. Nick, you're out on this.
Yeah, I'm done on that one.
100,
what, are you trying to be funny today?
100. Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Justin. $100 to $4,000 to sell your hair.
Like the follicles, they go in under the scalp?
I don't know. It just says
hair.
Your cornea.
You can sell your cornea.
I like my cornea. You're not taking
$21,000. You can, well, you guys can't, but women can sell their womb for $45,000. Is that even possible? Be like, I want to donate my womb. Can I get paid for that? Lungs, $295,000. Who's donating their lungs? This is my favorite. You can donate a kidney for $150,000, a liver for $148,000, or you can donate a heart for $607,000. What? That doesn't make any sense, because either if you're donating your heart now, you're dead.
You're dead.
Or if you've died and you get you're not enjoying the money for the heart either way. Why is there even a price on that? That's stupid.
He go.
Because he said, tell a friend. That makes no sense. But, yeah, Nick, you can start selling
your wares.
Well, we were talking about who's the guy that he relieved himself like 10 times a day or something like that.
No,
like,
Ric Flair.
That's $1,000 a day.
That's a lot of money.
Ric Flair was, what, twice a day?
That's a lot of money. If you're doing it like Ric Flair level, you've got your own parking spot at the donation center. Like employee of the month, you're just right up front with the handicapped people.
But you have to
have
like an amazing recharge system to be able to do that.
I was going
to
say,
crazy.
That if you're trying to donate.
Now, is it per donation or is it per ounce?
Because like I was going to say, the people at the clinic are going to think that you've got gas coming out of your.
Man, $100 a donation. Right?
That's all you got left,
like a ninja cloud of dust and you're gone.
In order to get the money, I'm going to need a little bit more than that, sir. Okay.
Sounds like the air that they like blow in your eyes like when you go to the eye doctor.
You don't want that in your eye, though. Yeah, I can't Nick, open my eye now.
Then you'd be donating your cornea. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back and wrap it up. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. I-10, the Katy Freeway, westbound at North Post Oak. The freeway is still completely shut down because of an accident. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. The ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center is brought to you by Uberito, home of the $5 Chicken Burrito Monday. Uberito, above and beyond your basic burrito.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final segment of The Usual Suspects before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, The Blitz, and Internet, hopefully for them, as we wrap up another stellar show. Boy, it was funny today.
don't get me started.
Oh,
please.
You've already gotten started. Let's That's be honest. True.
Somebody said that list that I gave of all the money you can make sounds like a bounty hunting list. Yeah. And then somebody asked, can you set it up where $600,000 goes to your family and then give up your heart? I don't love my family that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, they can you're be broke. Still not enjoying it even though they're set. Maybe they didn't work hard enough or do enough to earn it anyway.
Yeah, Chris said, I know a few girls have sold their eggs. They did it to buy boobs.
Okay. There's a trade-off.
It's not bad.
You don't need analytics for that trade.
No, you don't. NFL Power Rankings came out.
I heard number 22 is a hot team.
I can only guess who that is.
I got a message on my phone that said who it is.
I can't believe, though, at 22, the Packers are still ahead of the Texans. Texans are 24th. Fell from number 19.
Eagles are obviously
Cowboys
one.
Suck at 21. Yeah, so number one is the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two, the
Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Number three, the Rams.
Ooh, where's the Steelers?
Number four.
Okay.
Number five, the Minnesota Vikings. Number six, the Saints. Number seven, the Seahawks, up from number 10. Number eight, the Panthers. Number nine, the Falcons. And number 10, the Chargers.
They're coming, man.
They are.
And everybody's believing in them now. And again, if they had a good kicker, they'd have two more wins right now.
And
they'd be leading the division.
I want to say I had them making the playoffs, so I really hope they make me look good. That in Jacksonville, and I'll be happy with my predictions for the year.
About time.
Yeah, well.
Who they have the Seahawks ahead of?
Oh, by the way, I updated our standings if you're
curious. Obviously.
What?
Oh, I thought you made a jump. I know you beat me on Thanksgiving Day.
No, I didn't make that big of a jump. Oh. No. No. You're at 33-12.
I'll take that.
Not bad. That's in college. You're at 33-12. Nick, you are at, damn it.
You got a problem with the internet?
It's the internet again?
Yeah, well, forget
We'll come
it.
Back to
no,
that.
No, here it goes, here it goes, here it goes. Nick, you're at 28-17.
Kicking ass.
I'm at 30-15 for the NFL. Joseph, you are still beating our asses in the NFL. You are at 40-15. That's really good,
That's
dude.
Just picking the Packers every week too, right, guys?
Right. And then Nick, I'm at 35-20. Nick is at 34-21.
How much is my NFL lead? 8?
5.
No, it's college. I'm up 5.
No, you're up 5 in the NFL. And 5 in college, and 3 in college.
Oh, 3 in college.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went 4-0 this week in college.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. So,
I wonder if you guys, we talk a lot about money and things like that, and all the money that athletes make. But I saw this story, and I was like completely amazed, and I had to look up how much he actually made in his career. But Ben Gordon, who was once a pretty highly paid guard in the NBA, was just arrested in Monday yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles after allegedly roughing up a guy at his old apartment building and leaving with several $1,000s of his money. Law enforcement people said the 34-year-old Gordon went to the apartment complex where he used to live in an effort to regain his security deposit. When he was there, he was told that there was a dispute about the money and that he might not get it back. To that point, excuse me, Gordon allegedly put his hands on the guy, threatened him, and the man, in a panic move of fear, gave some of the money back, but mostly because he was scared. So then after the cops arrive at the building, because the guy called the cops after Gordon left, Gordon actually returned and demanded the rest of his security deposit, which amounted to a couple $1,000s. And instead, the cops arrested him on the spot for felony robbery. He was hauled by to a nearby station where he was booked and later released on $50,000 bail.
Damn.
He's been in all sorts of trouble with the police lately. He was placed on a psychiatric hold in New York after locking himself in his gym with a woman while brandishing a knife. And then he was arrested in L.A. back in June for pulling fire alarms in what I can only assume was the apartment complex that he once lived, that he's just trying to get his security deposit back from. And when I looked it up and they verified it on TMZ, he made more than $84 million in his career. Ben Gordon made $84 million, and he's worried about a security deposit at an apartment complex?
I just, while you were reading that, I Googled Ben Gordon net worth.
Yeah.
As of January 2017, they say he's worth $40 million.
So he's still got almost half.
Risking going to jail over a couple grr on a security deposit.
I think he
what
is going
is his
to jail.
Problem?
When you take the last 3 arrests, all happening within the last calendar year,
yeah,
he's probably going to do something, and it ain't going to be good.
Well, good news is career is looking up. On January 24th, 2017, Gordon was acquired by the Texas Legends.
Of the now the G League.
The NBA Development League. So there's that.
It's not the development, it's the G League. For
no,
Gatorade.
It says Development League.
Right, but it's changed.
I know.
All right.
It's what I'm just reading. Wiki.
Is it in you? Okay.
Are we back on that premature explosion thing?
Could be.
Did you see the latest in teachers banging students?
Yeah, I did.
I did not. Nick said he did.
Yeah. So,
she wasn't that bad looking, was she?
No, she really wasn't. It was in Oklahoma, and she was married to the coach. But she, 22, was arrested. The boy's parents are the ones that alerted the sheriff because he had explicit text messages and photos on his phone. Long story short, they set up a sting operation where they used his phone to reach out to her and say, hey, you want to get together and do it? She was like, yeah. So he said, I'm here. Went over to her house and said, I'm here. And he texted her and said, I'm here. She said, the door's unlocked as usual. So that's an admission right there that he's done this before. But she apparently was banging him. They walked in, and I guess that she was laying on the floor in her panties with the candles lit, ready to go, bra and panties, sending pictures of her like that to the kid. Not ugly. What would you give her, Nick? You have the link to it, Joel. I don't know if you can pull it up. Not ugly, though. I give her a 6.5.
I think that's fair. I would give her a 6 or a 7.
Huh?
You get the picture pulled up?
Yeah. What you think?
6.5
fair? 6.5 is fair.
Okay.
I mean, we can't see the body in that, but.
True. She could have.
Yeah, so 6.5 based on the headshot that we got.
Yeah, the mug shot. Right. Yeah, just the mug shot. Decent eyebrows on Fleek. That's not bad. Yeah, so.
Eyebrows.
That's all you can see.
Alrighty.
No makeup, obviously. She was
check
ready
her
for
feet.
A. No.
I mean,
no,
just checking.
At first, I thought it said 6'3". I was like, what? But she's like 5'7", 5'6". So that's good. I thought she was tall. Yeah, not bad. I'm still not changing my mind on this, by the way. I still don't have a problem if a dude is like 16 or older banging a teacher. I don't really. That doesn't upset me. I don't know why. I know it's a double standard. I know. I just don't. I mean, if I was 16 and could bang a hot teacher.
So if you were a father, ever.
I wouldn't care.
You would say, nope, your mom would give him the tongue lashing, and you'd say, you know what, Junior? Nice job.
I'd be like, bro, if I was 16 and could bang a 6.5, she's 22.
Was she good?
Yeah. I would.
Good
I'd
job,
be like,
Junior.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it happens. Now, if he's 10, that's different. But my cutoff would be 16. I would be all right with that.
Okay.
I feel bad for these teachers that are going to jail for like a 17.5-year-old kid. It's like, and he's basically an adult. I don't know. I might even be okay with 15.
Wow.
Anything below that.
We better wrap it up before Barry gets into the 13 and 12-year-old range.
One. No. 15, that would be my limit. I'm not going any lower than that. That's it. No, seriously. At 15, you knew what you were doing.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know.
So then you weren't being taken advantage of. You knew what you wanted. 22-year-old teacher.
She's kind of.
I like how you guys are just leaving me out here on this. That's all right.
Oh, we're just waiting for you to get into your live endorsement. We're trying to get you to transition into your live endorsement.
I'm wondering. AJ, look at Jung. Jung's already like, let's go.
Yeah, Nick, I'm wondering. You, 15, you're good with that?
No, I'm not.
You're just
going
to extend this even further?
No, I was just
asking. I am not good with that. No.
Okay. So you have standards then. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. You know
starting
who else
today.
Has standards?
And some things.
Gulf State home buyers. I got to tell you about Gulf State home buyers. We all know that the devastating effects from Harvey are still in this city. There are a lot of you out there listening right now that are still affected by Hurricane Harvey and the disaster that it left behind. Some of you still haven't got your FEMA money. Some of you still are waiting to get your house rebuilt. Here's what I want you to do, though. Because you've got the bill. You know how much it's going to cost you to repair your home. What you don't know is what you could get for that cash money in hand. And that's where Gulf State home buyers can come in and help you. Give them a call. 281-717-6100. Let them come out. They're going to give you a free, no obligation cash offer evaluation for your home. What you do is you take that offer. You look at the repair cost. Now you can make an informed and educated decision on whether you want to stay, repair the home, maybe take the chance of it flooding again, or sell it and move to a location that maybe doesn't flood as often so you're not in that floodplain and that risk zone again. But you're not going to know what you can get for the house if you don't call them. 281-717-6100. That's Gulf State Home Buyers. Give them a call. Let them come out and help you. I've told you before, they've won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau the last 2 years, 2016 and 2017. So you know you're dealing with a good company. Complete in-house staff of professionals ready to help you, ready to get you the information that you need so you can make an educated decision. 281-717-6100. Hit them up on the web, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you. And together, we will keep Houston strong.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit CultureMap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.